Good. Well, a very good morning. Now, what has been our topic of late, Molly?
The authority of the Bible.
The authority of the Bible. What does that mean? What does that mean, Stanley?
The fact that the Bible is inherently important, people shouldn't question it.
That is basically it, that they shouldn't question it. If they've got questions against it, they are wise to think before they put those questions there. Because we say that the Bible knows better than we do. On every subject, on any subject, the Bible knows better than we do. And it may be that we have to learn and we have to think about it as we grow in the Christian faith, but that's where we start from. And we've been looking at how, because of who God is, the Bible has authority. Because we know about God that he does not lie. And we know about God that he does not change his mind. So what he has written there, we can rely upon. And say it's trustworthy. And say it's without error. Has no mistakes in it. And it's not going to change. And God isn't going to start rewriting parts of it. Because he knew the end from the beginning. So, there are things about the Bible. Okay, it doesn't mean much to the people out there. But for us, the more that we know God and see his work, see how he works in our own lives, the more we rely upon the Bible. And its authority actually grows and grows and grows. Now, a slightly different tack today. The Bible has authority because there are certain things about it that make it different from any other book in the world, right? There are certain things about the Bible that are unlike any other book, any other piece of literature in the world, any other so-called holy books that Muslims may have, as they might be called, holy books that Hindus might have, or Buddhists might have, or people of any religion in the world might have. The Bible stands apart from all of those books. And there's one of those things I want to talk about briefly this morning. The Bible predicts events. The Bible predicts events. It prophesies, doesn't it? We're going to see in a week or two's time perhaps how the Bible builds up in a way that's quite unique. Writers there at the beginning, writers there at the end, but all saying the same thing, the same message. But in amongst those things that they are writing are predictions, saying things that are going to happen in the future. And today, can you think of one particular prediction that the Bible has right through its pages? Molly.
The coming of Jesus.
The coming of Jesus, isn't it? The coming of Jesus Christ. It's right there. The beginning in Genesis. It's right there in Genesis chapter 3 about him coming. Then all the way through the Bible, Moses speaks of a prophet to come, and that you've got to listen to him, and if we don't listen to him, you're going to be cut off. He is going to be a man like Moses. He's going to have humanity. He's going to have flesh and blood, but he's beyond Moses and somebody greater. And David as king. Well, there's another king coming, isn't there, from the line of David. And where is he going to be born? Where is he going to be born? Well, Timothy.
Bethlehem.
In Bethlehem, isn't he? The city of David. And he's going to have authority. And he's going to rule much, much more wisely than David ever managed. And much more powerfully than David ever managed. Even though David was, oh, the great king there that they all look back to all those days when David reigned. How wonderful those were. Well, yes. But this is a greater rule, because David only had a small country to rule over. Where does the Lord Jesus rule over, Charlotte?
The world.
The world. Everywhere. All nations. And he's going to have a people from everywhere. And we're here today because that's come true. And that prediction of what the Lord Jesus would do and how he would reign is coming to pass. People in Kenya and people in Romania and people in the Philippines, wherever it might be, that they're coming to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and they are coming under his rule. David had his little kingdom, really, just a bit of land there. God used him mightily, but there was a greater king coming. So all of those predictions. And can you think of some of the very particular predictions about the Lord Jesus Christ that are there in the Bible? Timothy.
He would die on the cross.
That he would die on the cross. Can you name a passage where that is? Go on.
Isn't there one in the book of Psalms?
There is, particularly Psalm 22, but other allusions too, all through there. But Psalm 22 tells us very clearly how he's going to die. The Psalms too, like Psalm 69, Psalm 41 about being betrayed and the kinds of things that would happen to him on the cross. How about how he's going to arrive in Jerusalem on his way to his death? Do you know which prophet tells us there, Molly? Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 9, we'll find that in there. How he will come, what's he riding on? What's he riding on, Molly?
Donkey.
On a donkey. That's it. Exactly. It was predicted. And how he would give himself up, and how they'll look upon the one they have pierced, and how not a bone of his will be broken. All there in the Old Testament, predicted. And so very often in the New Testament, the writers have to say, this happened, that scripture might be fulfilled. Or they quote the Old Testament, don't they? Some chapters in the New Testament, if you took out the Old Testament quotes, there'd be very little left. Because they're quoting the Old Testament, you see. Because look, Jesus is fulfilling what is written here in the law, in the prophets, in the Psalms. All throughout the scriptures there, Isaiah 53 and that great passage about how the Lord Jesus would die. It all happened word for word. And there's no other book in the world that's like that. None. Years before, hundreds of years before, 700 years before in the case of Isaiah, thousands of years before in the case of Genesis and what was spoken there. That is unlike any other book, any other religious book, any other piece of literature. Well, December the 21st, apparently this year people are talking. Why are they talking? Charlotte?
The Mayans predicted that the world would end.
The Mayans predicted that the world would end. And I would reckon, and this is sad, that more people are kind of excited about that than they're excited about the fact that the Bible predicted that the Lord Jesus would be born in Bethlehem, Micah 5 verse 2 for that, that he would die in the way he did, Psalm 22, Isaiah 53, and going, isn't this astonishing? This Bible's a book we must listen to. It has authority because it predicts things that could, you could never have made this just come about. No, they'd be more excited, I fear, about this Mayan prophecy. Oh, what's going to happen on December the 21st, is it? Yes, I think it is. Well, I think December the 21st will come, and December the 21st will go, and we will, God willing, be having our services here and carrying on as normal. And I trust that you're not troubled at all by any of these talks about this and all the talking up of these things. I'm afraid, what did the Mayans know? And people would be far better standing back in amazement at the prophecies of Scripture foretold hundreds of years before that all took place and came to pass in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we can say not only him. There are other things that were prophesied. That the people of God in ancient times will be sent into exile. That was all prophesied. They were told, unless you obey, you will be going into exile. And they did. Where did they get sent? Which empires took them away? Timothy.
Babylon.
The Babylonians came, didn't they, and took the southern kingdom. And which empire earlier had taken the northern kingdom away? Who were they? Fierce people again. Began with A. Timothy again.
The Assyrians
it was. They took the northern tribes time earlier. And then the Babylonians. All predicted. And Jeremiah also predicted what would happen to those who were in Babylon. He said something's going to happen to them. Timothy?
They'd come back eventually.
They'd come back eventually. Do you remember how many years later it would be? Molly?
70.
Yes, it was 70 years. Well done. 70 years later, they would get released and Cyrus by then, the Persian king, would allow them back. Predictions. Even predicted his name, actually. There in Isaiah's prophecies. Years before the man was born, that Cyrus would give the word for the people, the Jews, to return. Predictions, prophecies that came true. No other book like that. So one of the reasons we would say, well, we would say, almost satisfies us as Christians, God has spoken. Well, that will do. If he has spoken, we believe in him, great and mighty and wise God. He doesn't make mistakes. So what he says must be true. It has authority. But coming at it from a different angle, we can say, look, though, this book is unlike any other book in the world. And one of the strong reasons that we sit under it rather than sit over it and say, well, we think better than this, is because it gets these predictions right and shows us events hundreds of years before that are going to take place, and especially the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, it has forecast one very big event that is still to happen. And what is that wonderful and great event that is still to happen?
Jesus coming again.
Well, it's got everything right so far. So I'm 100% on this one, and I hope you are, that one day he's going to come again. Well, that'll be the end of the world as we know it, and the beginning of a better world if we're there with the Lord Jesus Christ on that day, his followers, and believing in him. Not the Mayan prophecy, no. Nor any other people saying, well, I think a comet's going to hit here. Oh, I think this is going to happen there. Forget all that. God's in charge of all the events. And he knows exactly the day he's going to send his son back to this world. And that's the day we're all looking forward to. So predictions make the Bible stand out different to anything else. It has authority. I hope you agree with me. Let's sing 850, All Things Bright and Beautiful, 850.